And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello. Today, Wednesday, February 22nd, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I am Gino. I'm here with Darren and Kevin. Please listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. Please like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Send us posts. Give me some questions and thoughts to talk about, guys. We are 6 days away from March. It's the start of March Madness coming your way. College basketball is a little crazy right now. We got number one teams changing every week. We got top 20 teams moving up and down. It's exciting. It's maddening. At the same time, it looks like it's going to be a precursor to one crazy March. We're heading into the tournament soon. It may not even have a favorite this year, but we may have 10 or 15 teams with a chance to actually win this. It's going to get crazy. It's madness, Darren. The madness is starting already. Let's talk about some college basketball, Darren.
Okay, just in the past week, and this is going to be a long list of ranked teams and what they've done. Alabama loses to Tennessee, then beats up Georgia, right? And they're winning tonight. Purdue loses at Maryland, then beats Ohio State. TCU loses at Iowa State, then blows out Oklahoma State, only to lose at home to Kansas. Virginia sweeps Louisville and Notre Dame and then loses at home at Boston College. Houston swept their two games. Indiana lost to Northwestern, beat Illinois, then lost at Michigan State. Xavier lost at Marquette and beat DePaul and then lost at home to Villanova, which, again, doesn't sound like a bad loss, but this year it is a bad loss.
It's a bad loss.
Marquette beat Xavier and beat Creighton, so that's like probably the best team we've seen all week. San Diego State beat Fresno, only game they really played. UCLA swept the Northern California teams. Who cares? Florida Atlantic falls to Middle Tennessee State. That bubble starts to burst when they lose to a mid-level team. It's a top four team in their league, but it's not a top team in their league. Arizona sweeps the mountain region, Utah and Colorado. St. Mary's struggles, but beats both San Diego and BYU, so they stay going. Gonzaga gets revenge on Loyola. They beat them by like 50. And then they got by Pepperdine on the road. UConn beat Seton Hall, and then they won again tonight against Providence. So UConn had that midseason slip, and now they're back. Tennessee beats number one, then loses at Kentucky, and loses at A&M. Thing about them, they're missing two starters, all right? So you're missing James, you're missing Phillips. That's probably a reason why they drop a little bit, but I think they'll be all right. Miami beats Wake and Vatek. Kev, we can hear that.
I was on mute. Sorry about that.
No, you were not. K-State beats Iowa State and Baylor, so they get back and corrected. Providence beats up Nova, but then loses tonight. Creighton wins at St. John's, loses to Marquette. Texas beats Oklahoma and bombs Iowa State, so they're in a little bit of a better shape than everybody else. Kansas pulls away from Baylor and nips TCU. NC State gets by Carolina, and they leave at the half right now against Wake. That's just the top 25. Like
it's
five
madness.
Of those teams went undefeated.
It's
everybody
madness.
Else lost at least a game.
It's
so it was
madness.
A little bit crazy. It is like up in the air. And like you said, there's no elite team. There's no great team. There are some very good teams. But the difference between 1 and 12 is so marginal at this point on a neutral court. Maybe even 1 and 16, which we've never seen before. You know, there's not that Kentucky or Duke team that nobody thinks that anyone can touch. Or even Baylor a couple of years ago, who looked like world beaters, but you just didn't trust. I mean, Kansas, you expect to lose in the tournament. And then like last year, they win it all. You know, you have all that type of stuff. This is truly madness. So
it's chaos.
It's up in the air. I have a few bubble thoughts, but I'm going to start with Kev. I know you had a couple of bubble teams you wanted to mention, correct?
I'm just, you know, when you talk about the madness, last week when we went through some of the other conferences, instead of the big boys, and we mentioned Liberty. Will they go out and lose to Kennesaw State? We mentioned the American Houston, of course, ascended to number one. Oh, go ahead.
So Liberty, right? You mentioned Liberty. Right now, 0-3 against Quad 1, 1-1 versus Quad 2, 3-3 versus Quad 4, and 15-0 versus Quad 4.
The quality of wins weren't there, yes. They had good computer numbers.
Their net is 46.
Yeah.
The net's a joke.
The strength of schedule is 104, though.
Yeah, and what I mean by that, Kevin, is not to insult them. The insult them is like, Ohio State's still in the 50s. They're 11-16.
Yeah.
It's got to stop at some point with the net keeping teams high up just because they lose to good teams. You lost. Teams that win have to be better than teams that lose, no matter what conference you're in, to an extent. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about teams that are 500 or a game below 500 in league, G. I'm talking about teams that are 2-13 in league. When you're 2-13 and your net is better than other teams that have better records, that's not right. There's something wrong with that computer system.
Yeah.
We mentioned a lot of one big conference teams, and Kev's going to continue down that road. If you look at some of the stats on these teams, none of them, including Florida Atlantic, by the way, who we all think deserves to be in there at this moment, none of these look good. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you what it looks like. Listen, I think Florida Atlantic's in. Unless they have a disastrous first-round loss in their conference tournament, I think they're in. But quads 1 and 2, they have 5 and 3.
Which is better than a lot of other teams.
Which also means they have avoided the bad loss. They are 26-3. They're 24-3 overall.
Correct.
So they've avoided the bad loss.
Yes, that's exactly what it means, Kev. You're right.
Middle Tennessee is an interesting team to lose to. I mean, they're not bad, but they're like a top four team in their league. They're not like the number two squad.
They're not the number two squad, yeah. It was in the American. So Houston, of course, went to number one in all the rankings after all the chaos last week. Memphis, probably the second best team in the conference. They lost their last game, but it was to Houston.
And they get them one more time. They get them last game of the year before the tournament at Memphis.
So that's a chance for Memphis to get that quality win and really secure their place in the big dance.
I think Memphis may be in already, though. I got news for you.
Maybe last four in, maybe last eight in, G. I can't say you're a guaranteed spot, though.
Listen, net of 40, strength of schedule of 52.
To me, when you start taking a look and you see some of these big conference teams that are going to be sitting there with 12, 13, 14 losses who are under consideration, I'd rather see some of the teams that are, second in their conference but have a good record get in there, including something like including a team like Memphis.
And North Texas, there's good teams. I mean, and I know North Texas doesn't have the numbers again, G, like you're going to look up right now, but it's still a good team. When I look at the bubbles, right, just to go through the major ones, right, so Memphis loses to Houston would have helped. That's not a bad loss. You can't punish them for that. Kentucky was out last week. Then they come back. They win at Mississippi State, and then they win at home against Tennessee, and suddenly you say, okay, they're in pretty good shape. Mississippi State loses to Kentucky, then beats Ole Miss, then loses last night in a heartbreaker at Missouri. Don't think the Missouri game hurt them. The Kentucky game was one they needed to have, I thought. A&M continues to win. So they're taking themselves off the bubble now to me.
Yeah.
They were on the bubble, but they beat Missouri, and then they beat Tennessee last night. I thought that was enough. Auburn loses at Vandy. They still got work to do. Earl.
You take a look. The SEC has been the second-rated conference in the country so far behind the Big 12. Alabama, clearly the best team in that conference now. Texas A&M is sitting there at 13-2, 21-7 overall. And I know that they play the unbalanced schedule because these conferences have just grown way too big.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the second best in the conference standings, in the second best conference in the country. They deserve to be in.
No, you're right. I think so. I have them in. But Auburn, I still have working on it. Missouri loses at home to A&M, and they lost two in a row, but then they beat Mississippi State last night. That kind of gets them back on the right side of the bubble to me. Arkansas beat Florida and Georgia as well. Sorry, Kevin.
I think Kentucky's getting on the right side of the bubble. They're actually playing well. They're winning now.
Here's an interesting team here. Same thing you talked about before with Texas A&M. Pitt. They lose at Vatech. They beat Georgia Tech. They have a great conference record. Nets in the mid-50s, right? BPI is about the same. Maybe the Nets in the low 50s. It's somewhere hovering a little above 50.
53.
53, okay. Going on memory. I don't have my phone.
I'll put Pitt in over Clemson.
Well, I don't have Clemson in at all. With the loss to Louisville, yeah, really kills you.
That's two horrible losses. We talked about it last week. They lost to South Carolina, and now they've lost to Louisville.
So two here's teams the thing.
Out of, Louisville's got four wins all year. South Carolina's in the 200s in the net.
Just not those good teams.
Those are two horrible losses.
All right, so here's the thing to look at right now. Right?
And they don't have any good – they don't have the quality wins either.
No. They had a couple good home wins, but nobody really good on the road either.
They've beaten up at the bottom half of the ACC.
And the schedule, again, with the unbalanced schedule, helped them a little bit this year. So you look right now, Villanova, North Carolina, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma. These teams are not in. Florida. These teams are not in. None of them.
North Carolina?
North Carolina is the closest to being in, right? None of the other ones are in. Kentucky, yet to cement the spot yet, right? Michigan State, yet to cement the spot yet. I mean, we have some really good teams that USC, not yet to cement the spot yet. You know, that's how wide open this season is. I mean, these are nine teams that you would almost say 7 out of 9, 8 out of 9 every year. And now, right now, maybe one or two. Kev?
One of the things that helped them, though, is when you look at the mid-majors, except for a Florida Atlantic, maybe a Charleston, there are very few bid stealers that we see out there.
I agree completely with you. And that's one of my things with trying to plan this out and look at this. When you look at all those mid-majors, right? So forget about all the big conferences for a minute, but American Athletic, we're thinking Houston, Memphis.
Yep.
A10, probably just VCU, right?
Well, if they lose their conference tournament, I don't know if they're a net in the 70s, guys. They're a net in the 70s.
I don't think they're in.
It's no guarantee, but they're probably only one bid, right? Yep. And then
the Mountain West is the squeaker. The Mountain West is the conference that can get 5, can get 4, can get 3. We don't know what they're going to do with that.
So I like
to see them get 5.
I'd be
thrilled to see them get 4 at least.
So other than that, you got the West Coast Conference getting 2, and then you have
Santa Clara is not great, and I give you the numbers aren't there, but they have 21 wins. And they really do. They have wins against, they won at BYU, which is a decent win, but it's not great. But if they win out, which the rest of the regular season is winnable, they could, if they win a semifinal game against either St. Mary's or Gonzaga, they could be at 28 wins, 27 anyway. Sorry.
I think they probably have to win. They probably have to get to the, they probably have to win their conference tournament. And doing that, they're going to have to beat both of those teams to get in. If you're asking me,
if they win one, they have a shot of being the third team. San Francisco got in last year as a third team in that league.
It's true.
They're 0-4 against the two, St. Mary's and Gonzaga. Yeah. They need to beat at least one of them in the semis.
If they can win the semi, I think they can get in.
And lose to the other. That gives them at least the quality win that you're looking for.
And Herm Sendek's still no guarantee. Herm Sendek's a good coach.
So we just talked
about Oregon, another good team, not in this year.
Wait, anyway, that's right. So we just talked about those couple of conferences, right? We know you're going to get at least 3 bids, 4 bids from the other conferences, the ACC, the Big East, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, the Mountain West, right? Putting all those aside, if you look at all of the other mid-major conferences, is any of them getting 2 bids? And again, Florida Atlantic, probably, if they were to lose in their conference tournament in the finals, I could see them getting in.
Other than that, North Texas
is better than you're giving them credit for. And I'm going to go through a couple of them, Kev.
But at the moment, that's probably at this time, that's probably the only one that's a lock for getting in at the moment. And that goes exactly to your point, Kev, which is none of these mid majors at this moment in time are 2-bid conferences. Which means all of those middling teams from those big conferences are going to get in. You know, that's the only way you're going to get like 8 teams from the Big Ten or the Big 12, the SEC. That's how they're going to get 8 teams, is because there's no other bid stealers out there. Kev?
There's potential ones, though. Go ahead, Kev.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to give you some small conferences. Now, I'm going to give you a couple that aren't going to get in, but I just think they're interesting stories. Eastern Washington is 21-7, 15-0 in league. They finish 18-0 in league, 24-7. Still probably not enough, but this could be a 26-win team that loses in their final and goes, you know, 20-0. I'm just saying, it's something to think about. Charleston right now does not get the automatic bid. That's Hofstra's right now. Hofstra has a half-game lead on them. Charleston's a team that is someone you could consider with the record they have at 26-3, 14-2. I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're better than the others, but Hofstra's 22-8, 15-2. They only have one game.
I don't like Charleston.
The two games they've got left are Towson and Stony Brook. They have to win those two, obviously.
And they should. They're both home. So they should be able to get through that. North Texas has won 8 in a row. Hofstra's won 10 in a row. Again, I know these teams aren't going anywhere. Ivy League is just on this aside. There's four teams separated by one game or something for the last two spots. So it's going to be really interesting to see who gets it. And they play this Saturday, then the following Saturday.
You probably know. Does the Ivy League still just do the top four in their tournament?
Top four. So they're all fighting just to be in the top four to get into the tournament. Kent State, shot their load last night. The Ball State loss kills their dream. Toledo, on the other hand, has won 12 in a row. I'm not saying that Toledo's great, but they are 22-6 with a chance to win their last couple. They could be a 27-28 win team. Drake is an interesting story here, because they do have the win against Louisiana, which doesn't seem great, but they also beat Mississippi State. So those aren't bad losses. They've won 9 in a row, and they end their season this weekend against Bradley. Those are the two top teams. They're both 14-4 in league. They're both winning tonight. I think they both won. I know Bradley did. Drake was up. So they're both so Drake will be 24-6, 15-4 at this moment from what I can see.
Yeah, I don't know what the computers are, but at least Drake is only 6 losses.
Yep.
Bradley's got 8. And I think when they look at this, the 8 losses, if they lose their tournament, I think a 9th loss by Bradley is just going to be too much to put them in.
Yeah, I think Drake is the only one that can get in.
Drake with the 7th loss, especially if it's in the conference tournament final, doesn't look as bad.
So now here's the other one, Gino. Oral Roberts, 25-4, 16-0. They have to go through South Dakota now. They have the road trip. Now, South Dakota is not good, but South Dakota State is the number 2 team in that league. It's not going to give them much. It's going to give them a quad 2 win. But it's going to get them, if they win them out, they're 27-4, and say they win the first two games of the tournament, and they have 29 wins. Do you keep a 29-team win out?
Yes.
Their only losses. Now, I'm going to give you their losses, though. One second. They lost to St. Mary's. Very close game. They lost to Houston. They got beat up. They lost to Utah State and New Mexico. Those are their four losses. They're all four teams that are tournament teams they lost to. They're not bad.
Okay.
They're not a bad loss in the bunch.
Here is the issue, okay? Because I really looked at quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four. I really looked at some, and I wanted to know what this stuff meant, okay? So Oral Roberts, which you meant, they have it at the when I printed this out, they were 25-4. They have 25 wins, okay, at this moment. Yep. They are 20-0 against quad three and quad four, and they are 16-0 against quad four. What does quad four mean? Quad four are games where they are home with a team ranked 161-351. And a road win where they're against teams ranked 241-351. They're playing horrible teams.
That's their league, though. That's the league that they're in, bud.
I understand.
So here's the thing, though. I'm going to correct you for one second. You want to tell me 5-4 against quads 1-2. They're 5-4 against 1-2.
But if
they're 5-4,
no, they're 1-4 against quads 1-2. Oral Roberts.
No, you said that they were 20-0 against 3-4. That means that they're 5-4 against 1-2. I'm going by what you said. I don't have it in front of me.
But wait, there could be teams that aren't in any of these quads. If they played teams at the beginning of the season that were whoever.
Don't have it in front of me. My phone is dead.
But here's the thing, Derek. Here's the one thing, right?
Roger State, for example.
Okay, so they played a couple others. Okay.
If you're telling me they have 29 wins, G.
Okay.
How, so can, they, How could you not have them in with 29 wins? The problem I have with teams like Oral Roberts is they have all of their wins against horrible teams. I know it's their conference, but that's why they're getting the one bid. That's why the conference is only getting one bid. So, and listen, I really looked at a lot of this stuff in the past week because I really wanted to know about the about some of these one bid conferences. And listen, right now, other than Florida Atlantic, I can't see anybody else getting in from those one bid conferences.
A 29 win Oral Roberts team to me gets in, and I think Drake's numbers aren't awful.
And
North Texas, I
understand exactly what you're saying, Gino. There's just a lot of me, especially like in some of the small schools that can't have a chance to get in there. I'd rather see a 29-4 or 29-5 Oral Roberts team over a, you know, right now 16-11, probably going to be worse, North Carolina. Or the ninth place team in the Big Ten or teams like that.
I mean, here's the. I agree. I don't think Michigan or Wisconsin deserve to be in.
It's more fun to watch these little schools have a chance.
Well, listen, Kev, we remember the early 90s with Manhattan. We remember Manhattan. We also remember Iona getting the shot, and they lost to BYU in a really good game. But but sometimes these smaller schools deserve the look. You know, it's not a horrible thing to say that, you know. Listen, I have Texas Tech right now ahead of West Virginia, right? In my Big 12. I put Texas Tech, I had them leapfrog West Virginia. They won at West Virginia this week. I put them slightly above. They're playing better at this point, right? That's my eighth seed. So if you want to tell me that we have to get the ninth team out of 10 from the Big 12 with a conference record of 5-13, I don't know. I don't think I need it. I would much rather see a team that ran through their league. I know your point. The numbers and you and Jay Billis, the numbers add up that the better teams are the better teams. I get it. But they also have more chances. I mean, you're stat on Kansas before we came on. They've played how many quad ones?
A lot.
19, 14, and 5, right? Yeah. Every game's a quad one. Every team is good. There's no bad there's no bad road game there. And most of the home games count.
And yeah, that gets into the net ratings, too.
And the net thing is a little crazy, and so is the BPI, and so is the RPI, but whatever.
I mean, listen, I like seeing these teams get in. I really do. And in past years, I've had 3-4 conferences. I've projected 3 or 4 different conferences to get a second bid somewhere if the big team lost in their finals. But right now, this year, I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see, honestly, I mean, you want to tell me Charleston, I can live with it. I don't love it, but I can live with it. But some of these other teams, I just don't see it right now with these, and it's specific this year, right? Last year, I had 4 conferences that could get an extra bid, and now I have none.
Of course, the way to put this all to bed is to have these teams just win their tournament.
Well, I mean,
every opportunity to do that, but playing 3 days and 3 nights, you know, you run into a cold stretch or you run against a hot team, anything can happen.
Your best player goes out and shoots 1-for-10 from 3 and you lose by 6.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, well, look at it. We just brought up Tennessee before, right? So now they're playing without 2 starters, okay? So they lose 2 in a row. Are they a bad team? No. TCU without Mike Miles and Lampkin. They look bad. Then all of a sudden they get Miles back. They win by 25 against Oklahoma State in a game that wasn't even that close. They lost to Kansas, but there are bigger tragedies and crimes in the world than losing a 3-point game against Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, so anything can happen with a guy getting hurt. Anything
Kansas, Kansas who I now have ranked number 1.
I don't have, I have him as 3, but I can see why you'd have him as 1. But when you go through that, so now, We talk about these mid-level teams, and I get it. Listen, I truly get how hard it is to put some of these teams in over some of the better squads, you know, the bigger conference squads. The Big East is going to get 5. They're not going to get 6. They're not going to get 4. The 5 teams that are there. Unless Seton Hall goes on some miraculous run, nobody's getting in there besides the Big 5, right? Yeah. The ACC, to me, also has 5. I don't have Clemson or North Carolina in.
What about Nova?
They're 500, G, with a net in the 80s. Okay. They're a 500 team. I know they won a nice game. And listen, nobody wants to play this team in the Big East tournament because Justin Moore is back, and he's a huge difference maker. But is he enough for them to win anything? No, I think the other five teams are still better than they are.
I agree.
ACC's a five-bid league to me right now, too.
I agree.
I don't have Clemson. I don't have Carolina. You know, Big Ten, eight, and that's a stretch. I don't have Michigan, and I don't have Wisconsin in. You know, but Northwestern has played themselves in. I mean, you know, Iowa to me is a borderline team right now. It's a lot going on in this thing. SEC, Mississippi State's right on that bubble. That could be the eighth team. You know, I mean, Florida's not in. Vandy loses tonight to a horrible LSU team. It's over. Done. You know, I mean, this is where you sit. You know, with these leagues. Big 10 could get 9. Big 12 could get 9. I don't want them to get 9. I think 8. I think 8's plenty out of 10 teams.
Yeah.
Pac-12 could be 2 or 3. It's not going to be anything different.
I think Florida's out now after the loss tonight to Kentucky.
I agree with you.
They dropped 14 and 14 now.
Florida out now firmly. Yeah. So
I didn't have them in before, and now I really don't have them in.
Which means, you know, assuming they're not getting the automatic bid, they've got at least guaranteed 15 losses.
Yeah,
that's way too many for me.
No, so you go through all this, and then, you know, so tonight the bubble games, you know, Wake NC State, Wake's losing right now. So if they don't win this one, I think that pretty much cements them unless they do some real damage in the tournament. Clemson needed to win tonight against Syracuse. They got it. Vandy lost LSU. I think it's over. Yeah. Drake won. I keep them slightly alive. I know you don't love it, Gino, but I keep them slightly alive. Auburn, Ole Miss. Auburn needs this one. They can't lose to Ole Miss at home. Notre Dame could upset North Carolina. That would blow North Carolina out of the water. And New Mexico plays now, Boise State.
Notre Dame's got a point lead in the second half.
Yeah. New Mexico and Boise State. Boise, I think, is in, but New Mexico needs this one on the road. You know, so you have that. Then tomorrow you got another set of them. Michigan plays Rutgers. Rutgers has been slumping. They need to win, you know, to solidify. Penn State, Ohio State. People have Penn State still on the bubble. I don't, but they do. So they know something I don't know. Florida Atlantic has to beat UTSA to stay in there. If they lose that game, they're done. North Texas has to win at Charlotte. Memphis has to win at Wichita State. Illinois has to beat Northwestern. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen. Santa Clara has to beat Pepperdine, and USC has to win in Colorado. They have a tough week. They have to go to Colorado and Utah this week. They lose one or both of those, they're not in. G?
Let's go back to Mountain West for a sec. So right now, I only have three teams in from that conference. I have San Diego State, I have Boise State, and I have Nevada. Those are the only three teams I have. I have Utah State right on the bubble. For me, New Mexico's played themselves out. I mean, they're really going to have to play well down the stretch for me to try to put them back in right now. So
I don't think they're that far out. I have Utah State as like one of my last teams in, but they could be one of the first teams out just as easily, right?
I understand that because they lost 5-6 before beating San Jose.
You know, and
they were missing their second leading scorer for three of those games. Jalen House was out, and that hurt them a little bit.
See, we talked the mid-major conferences getting the bids. I'd rather try to figure out how to get Utah State in this in this tournament. Right now, I have them out, right? I'd rather prefer to try to get them in and not put in eight teams from the Big Ten or eight teams from the Pac-12. Yeah, I'm sorry, the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. I'd rather try to get one of those conferences only having seven teams and at least get Utah State in there, who I feel like deserves to be in this, you know?
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. Utah State has struggled with road games. They've been better at home. they have on Saturday, I'm trying to find who they play, but they have somebody that they have a really big game this weekend that they need to have. I mean, there's a lot of this going on with teams that really need to find a way. Utah State and New Mexico are the two teams that have to play themselves in. But Nevada and Boise State can still play themselves out.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I said, I mean, as of right now, I only have three teams from the Mountain West in. And that's where I'd like to have a fourth team. That's where I'd like the other bid to go instead of eight teams to one of those big conferences. But at the moment, you know, I mean, to me, Kentucky played themselves in. They, I'm fairly certain at this point, for me, they played themselves in. You know, the Big Ten, Wisconsin to me is right on the bubble. You know, they're playing Iowa right now. If they get a good win here, that could put them in for me. And then I still would then have Utah State on the outside. So, you know, to me, that's the one team right now trying to get a fourth team from the Mountain West, whether it's Utah State or New Mexico. That's who I want to try to get in. Darren?
Here's New Mexico real quick. Now, they have two games this week that are both interesting. Okay, they play at Boise State, and then they come home for San Diego State. If they win both of them, they're going to get on the other side of the bubble. Even if they split, they're going to be right there.
Agreed.
If they split, even if they just beat San Diego State at home, that's going to move their net up substantially.
And it's already at 47.
It's already a decent one. Now, again, the net's bull. The net sucks. But you know what? That's the tool they're using. So there's really not much we can do about it. The net makes no sense to me whatsoever. But it's going to climb up if they beat a San Diego State team that's in the top 30 net or top 35 at least. It's going to be a big deal.
The thing that's tricky about them right now, New Mexico, is – you know, they're 6-3 against quad one and quad two, and then they're 8-3 against quad three, which means they just have some bad losses.
And almost all in the conference.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's just some bad losses. It's not even, oh, give me some quality wins. They have quality wins.
The funny thing is, and we talk about it all the time about these bad losses, you know, losing at Notre Dame, I know this season looks bad. It's not a bad loss. That's not an easy place to play. Losing at Syracuse is not bad. Losing at Vanderbilt is never an easy game. Losing at South Carolina, even this year, South Carolina plays everybody tight at home. They just have really been awful on the road. LSU, same thing. These are big schools, right? So you don't think about the Mountain West that way, but, yeah, you know, or the West Coast Conference. Try to go to BYU and win. It's 21,000 people at the Marriott Center, freaking screaming Mormons, going nuts. I mean, that's not an easy place to win. You know, try to go to stupid conference. Try to go to Sacramento State, where they play in an 1,100-seat arena, where they're literally on top of you. It's like it's like one of the smallest arenas that you can. It's a commuter school. It's like my college having a program. It's an 1,100-seat arena. I mean, but you go to, like, these schools in the Mountain West, it's not easy to win in Wyoming with the elevation and all the other crap that goes on, or an Air Force. These are tough road games. They don't give them credit in the smaller conferences, but some of these are brutal. Some of them are just brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kev, any final thoughts on the bubble? I know we have, like, three more weeks of this before we do our special tournament show. Yes. But we'll give you all the inside and outs before everybody else will. And we're not going to just say that the four number one seeds get through. We're going to tell you why other teams have a shot, unlike anybody else. Anyway, Kev.
I think we've covered a good amount here tonight. And we've got, like I said, another 3 weeks before Selection Sunday, which should be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. There are two other college basketball points I want to make that are not about the bubble. Okay. Number one, I want to talk about Brandon Miller and the University of Alabama. Okay, Darius Miles, as we all know, you reported a couple of weeks ago, Kev. You know, he was involved in a shooting.
Yeah.
Found out, yesterday, that Brandon Miller, the top player on Alabama, the probable top five draft pick at very least, is the guy that supplied the gun. Okay? How he's still on Alabama's roster by supplying a loaded gun for a murder. And how the coach can say, wrong place, wrong time. Nate Oates, that's disgusting.
If you have a loaded gun, that's...
A 23-year-old girl with a 5-year-old kid was killed because she didn't want to talk to a guy that was hitting on her because her boyfriend was in the car. And all of a sudden, they start a shootout. This guy provides a gun. I know he didn't pull the trigger. He brought a gun to a scene that was used to kill somebody. And the coach says, wrong place, wrong time. No, wrong place to bring a loaded weapon. How about that? Is it just me that thinks this is a little deplorable?
It's horrible.
I don't get it.
And this is not a gun control topic or anything like that. It's just a matter of you brought a loaded gun with you to a place where there shouldn't have been one. and gave your friend, you gave your buddy the gun to use.
And he did.
You should not be on the team.
There was one in the chamber. He let him know.
You should not be on that team.
You should be up on charges.
You should be. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Listen, I'm all for, and not to get political, I'm all for the Second Amendment. You know, people have a right to defend themselves. Yep. But you brought a freaking gun. I don't, whatever. I mean, I can't even, you know, wrap my head around. And the fact that Alabama doesn't let this leak until it comes out yesterday, they act like it didn't happen. They just blame it on Miles, and they try to protect Miller is pathetic. And if there is enough outcry and Miller doesn't play, Alabama's chances dip pretty good because he's their best player. He may not be the best statistical player, but he's the most talented guy on that team. It's not really that close.
Yeah.
The other point I wanted to bring up was New Mexico State. Okay, this happened last week, and we didn't bring it up. So New Mexico State's a very proud program. If you look at them over the last 11 seasons, and we take out since 2010, and we take out 2020 when they had no tournament, they've been 9 of the last 11 tournaments, okay? Great coaches like Lou Henson, Neil McCarthy, Reggie Theus, Marvin Menzies, Chris Jans, who just got the job at Mississippi State. They had to cancel the rest of their season, and they have a 5-win season going on because of hazing. And, you know, this has kind of been outlawed here. I mean, you know, you really can't do it. The way they describe the hazings, I don't know if it's considered bad from 1978, but it's bad for 2023. You can't do it. Coach Heyer, Greg Heyer, who's a JUCO coach from Northwest Florida State, but he's been on D1 staff. He was at LSU, Wichita State. I mean, he should know better. This is a proud program that had to cancel their college season. This is a team that's a perennial team we see in the brackets every year. I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, Chris Jans has this team last year. If you guys remember, they had Teddy Allen. They won a game in the tournament and gave another team a scare. I can't remember who they lost to in the second round. But this is a proud program in Las Cruces that all of a sudden now is an embarrassment because of a hazing scandal with a bunch of kids transferring. You don't even know if they're going to turn it around, Kev.
Yeah. Does this come out? Do they suspend their season if they have a winning record or if they're in first place?
I agree with you, Kev. I don't think they do.
It's a lot
easier to do when you're losing.
You would hope they would treat it the same way, but it's a hell of a lot easier when they're sitting there with a 9-15 or 9-16 or whatever the record is. It's a bad record. They can easily say, all right, we're going to look like we're tough guys. We're going to fire the coach and shut down the program this year and try to regroup next year. We all know, unfortunately, we don't like the business aspect of the college basketball. We love the game of college basketball. All three of us love college basketball. But this is the business part of it that you sit there and go, you know, if this was a tournament team or potential tournament team, I think they'd keep playing, unfortunately.
I'm actually sure you're correct, which is the sad part about this. They would keep playing until somebody made them stop, and that's the sad part. But, yeah, though, I just wanted to bring up those two points because I thought that they're both – both disgusting. Anyway, first one worse than the second one. Second one definitely bad as well.
Let's end it on an up note.
Okay.
Georgetown breaks a 22-game road losing streak, beating Butler over the weekend.
It was nice to see Patrick get the W. I was happy for him.
And like we've said before, we all hated Georgetown in the 80s against St. John's. But with Patrick Ewing as their head coach, I think we all – deep down, root for Georgetown because of Patrick Ewing. And it's nice to see them actually getting a couple of wins this year to break these terrible losing streaks they've been on for the last couple of years.
I mean, they're going to fire a legacy at the end of the year.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And it sucks, you know. Yep. And it sucks. And there's not much we can do. Gino, are you talking? Because I can't.
Right now, Georgetown is losing to St. John's by 9 tonight. Okay.
Well, listen, we're rooting for St. John's over Patrick. Yeah. But anyway, that's beside the point.
All right. I
think that's it for college hoops. G?
I got one last one. Okay. And that is trying to look at my top four. You know, I think UCLA is going to wind up on one of those top lines. I think this is the way this is coming out. Maybe it's Alabama that slips. Maybe it's Purdue that slips. But I think UCLA is going to wind up on that one line. I can just see this coming.
I have him as a two right now. I mean,
so do I.
They're playing great, but the conference is not good, and they have this long home winning streak. It's just unfortunate it's just not a good league right now.
Okay. All right. Let's move to some NBA.
All right.
Let's talk a little NBA. All-Star game weekend last week, so not a lot of games to talk about. Couple of things. The final score of the All-Star game was 184 to 175, which was just a disaster.
I didn't watch a second of anything the whole weekend. Not a second.
We've seen that for the last 10
I know
years.
It's totally unwatchable. You know, I don't know what they do with this. What they do with this game, you know, listen, none of the All-Star games are good anymore. And that's why the NFL changed theirs to a flag football game, which didn't make anything better. But, you know,
at least baseball has a little something.
At least, and I think it's just the format of basketball. Yes, these are high scoring games, but at least you're seeing the stars out there putting up numbers.
So is that what it's about?
No, but you want – there's a certain segment of the population, I think, that wants to go and see Tatum put up 55 to set the record this weekend. They want to see the stars go out there and be able to –
Anybody over the age of 20?
Yeah, I have no interest in it. It's
but,
not,
but,
to me, it's not basketball. That's why the 55 means nothing to me.
But for the All-Star game, who's the target audience? It's certainly not us.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to criticize All-Star Weekend completely. So the dunk contest, Mac McClung wins it. You know, Shaq was all over. What?
He's played two games this year, I think?
Yeah. No. Here's the beauty of it. Not one star goes into the dunk contest. This was a contest that was created for guys like Julius Erving, Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan.
Spud Webb.
Well, Spud was a novelty, but he was there. Nate Robinson was a novelty, but he was there. Even the Knicks, they drafted Kenny Skywalker. Remember early? At least he could dunk, but he couldn't play. But now not one superstar wins this thing. I remember when Larry Nance won it, and I was a kid. I was like, who the hell is Larry Nance?
Yep.
And, you know, now none of these guys want to do anything. It's bad enough that they feel like they have to sit out every third game because they're tired. I mean, you know, because you got this kid that gets to see one game a year, and he's like, I want to go when LeBron's playing, and LeBron sits out because he needs a nap. I mean, this is what the NBA has become, Popovich, and that's disgusting. And I blame Popovich completely for it.
A couple of years ago, I took Kevin down to Philly when Philly was bad. The tickets were cheap in Philly at that point, but they were home against Dallas, and it was Dirk's retirement year. And my son, who is a huge NBA fan, wanted to go see Dirk. Who did not play?
Dirk. And that's what it is now. I mean, and again, we could all thank Greg Popovich for deciding that he wanted to show everybody he was smarter than the rest of the league. And you weaken it, you know, and that's what they've done. So they weaken All-Star Weekend. Listen, the three-point shooting contest is fine, but the three-point shot is so nothing now. It used to be a bigger deal than it is now because everybody, all they do is shoot threes in this league, so it doesn't change anything. There's no real skills. And you see these superstars, and we get to select my friends on my team, and Giannis gets his friends on his team, and LeBron gets his. And well, I know it's targeting 20-year-olds, and that's great, but you can't. But they make it into an extravaganza where they have 4 days off, 3 days off, then they play it. Then they have another 3 days off before they come back. It's pathetic.
You're a Celtics fan, and here's, you know, you want to see your two guys, Tatum and Brown, and they're on opposite teams.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Nah, it's just I remember Van Gundy coaching. He was sliding plays under the door and they were making fun of him. But you know what? At least he was trying. Because he didn't know how to take the weekend off. But yeah, I think the NBA has become a travesty. Two other quick things, you know, just to mention. Kevin Love signs with Miami. He got more of the me league. You know, I don't want to play for you anymore, so let me sign where I want to.
Yep.
And then Russ is officially signed with the Clippers now. So now the Clippers have Kawhi, Paul George, Eric Gordon, and Russ. So we have four guys that want to bring up the ball. So that should be fun. But they're going to be good. I mean, it's not like you can really criticize them. They're going to be a first-round team in the West.
If they all play.
What has Kawhi really done after leaving Antonio.
Nothing. He's been hurt. He's been a guy that plays some and rests a lot.
He got a lot of credit for playing defense. And I don't think the Spurs win without Leonard's contributions. But they had Duncan. They had Parker. They had Ginobili on those teams.
Yes, they did.
Kawhi was the fourth option a lot of times.
Exactly. And he was going up against a non-superior defender.
Yeah.
And when you get that opportunity, you know, it makes it a little bit of an easier game. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, but the NBA has become – the All-Star Weekend is a real challenge. But the West is going to be unreal, guys. Does Denver have enough to get out of it? The Clippers now have a bunch of All-Stars that are going to play. The Mavs have the big two. The Suns have a huge squad. I mean, just right now, if you were to look at it, you're going to have, you know, Denver against possibly Golden State in the 1-8. So Steph is the 8 against Denver, right? Yeah. Then you have the 2-7 seems like it probably becomes Memphis against, New Orleans. So you have Zion against Ja. So you have two young guys going against each other. Could be kind of fun. And then, you know, the Kings, you know, are a week 6, but they're probably going to end up playing the Clippers. And then you're going to have the Suns and the Mavs in a 4-5 game. I mean, we have some really interesting first-round matchups. And even in the 3-6, with all the guards I just mentioned, the Kings come out with De'Aaron Fox, who's a damn good player. You know, and Sabonis is the best big man in the series. So there's a lot going on. The NBA West is going to be unreal. The East is going to be 3 teams. The West is going to be any one of 8. Well, maybe really not the 8-6, maybe.
Was that last week from Sacramento in 3rd, the Lakers in 13th. 6 games separating them. It's just going to be wild to see who even makes playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm penciling in the teams where they are now. And by the way, Alabama's only up 2 at South Carolina at this moment. Closer game than you would expect. Anyway.
Go Cox.
Yeah, exactly. Let's send this. Tulane is getting blitzed by Houston 53-32. Anyway, that's my NBA diatribe.
Do we even want to give an NBA top 5? I know they haven't been.
There's no games.
There hasn't been a game to discuss, so I don't think we need to.
I think we had 3 games last Thursday. That was it.
Okay. NHL? Anybody have any points on the NHL, guys?
More of just a top 5, I guess. But it's going to be a mad race. The way it works for me in the East, it's a mad race for the final 2 spots in the East. And the West has the 1 and 9 separated by 9 points, much like you were talking about with, basically the NBA in the West, the hockey West. It might have changed. This was done last night, so I might have before the last night's games. But 1 and 9 separate by just it's a 10 points on the high end. So the West is going to be a little tighter depending on who gets hot down the stretch. The East, what you brought up last week, Kev, about Ovechkin. I mean, Washington's hit a little bit of a tailspin. The Islanders came out and beat Pittsburgh, which was a nice win for them.
And Winnipeg tonight.
And they beat Winnipeg again tonight. I was going to say that. I mean,
and that's without Barzal.
Without Barzal, you're right.
Which you would think that would be a big loss for them.
It's classified as a lower body injury.
Well, that's all they ever call anything in hockey. It's either an upper body injury or a lower body injury. Upper body usually means your head. Lower body means everything else. It's kind of weird. The hockey is so exciting with that, but it's really a very wide open West, and the East is going to be exciting for the playoffs as well.
But like you said, you know, Atlantic Division, you've got Boston, Toronto, Tampa. Tampa's in 3rd with 75 points. Metropolitan, you've got Carolina, New Jersey, and the Rangers. Rangers are in 3rd there with 75 points. The wild cards right now, the Islanders with extra games and play than anybody else, basically. They were at 67 points. They're 8 points behind any third-place team, but they lead the wild card. So you've definitely got a clear delineation. You know the top 3 in each division. They're going to make it, barring the collapse. It's really coming down to, you know, from the Islanders, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams separated by 7 points.
Yeah.
It's going to be a dogfight for those 2 wild card spots.
And a couple of these teams have a lot of games in hand. It's really hard to even gauge hockey because you never have the same number of games or even close. Even baseball, you're within a game or two usually. Yeah. Hockey could be like 4, you know? I mean, I think Buffalo's like 4 games behind the Islanders, something like that.
As of right now, with the Islanders win today, that's including the standings. They've got 61 games played. Buffalo's got 55.
Okay, 6 games.
And the Islanders have played the most games in hockey right now.
So Carolina jumped out in the lead, but Notre Dame just tied it up. So we'll see how this game winds down, by the way, in college basketball. Sorry.
Yep.
Just craziness, craziness. But, yeah, I mean, gee, why don't you start off with the top five?
Okay, I got Boston number one. I got Carolina number two, 9-1 last 10. I got the Devils at number three right now. I got Vegas at four, and I got the Rangers at five. Rangers 8-0-2 the last 10. They're definitely hotter than hot right now. We'll see how far that pushes them up. Kev?
Well, the Rangers did lose Monday night to Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, it was. I think that was right before I did my 8-0-2 in the last 10. So,
but you're right. They're 7-1-2 in their last 10 now. But regardless, they've definitely been hot, and I had them in the top five last week. I agree with you. The top three is clearly Boston, Carolina, and New Jersey. I've got Tampa Bay at four and the Rangers at five.
So you have nobody in the West.
I've got nobody in the West in the top five.
Okay, I have the same exact five as Gino, with the Kings lurking right behind the Rangers as my six. So I have Vegas in the four and the Rangers in the five. I had Rangers four until they lost on Monday night, Gino, to be perfectly honest. I dropped them behind Vegas because Vegas has won a few in a row. So yeah, it's
I probably would move Rangers up to four except for the loss. Yep.
The loss damaged them. But, yeah, definitely wide open, though, in the NHL. We're going to be getting close to the playoffs. As soon as we wrap up college basketball, it'll be hockey, playoffs, the Masters, baseball kicking off. We have a lot going on. And where do we want to go next, G?
Let's talk a little golf.
Go ahead, Kev.
Genesis Open this weekend, or the Genesis Invitational, I should say.
Yes, it is.
John Rahm solidifying or retaking the number one ranking in the world with his pretty dominant victory there. Big story, I think, of the weekend, though, was, of course, Tiger's return. Tiger overall played pretty decently for a guy who played 9 rounds of competitive golf last year. You saw some of the magic Thursday to finish birdie, birdie, birdie and get to 2-under. He had the Thursday afternoon, Friday morning tee time, and I think that hurt him late in the round on Friday morning. He ended up bogeying 3 of the last 4. It looked like he would miss the cut. He wound up making the cut on the number. Comes out Saturday and puts up the third best round of the day. So, and I think we all agree, when Tiger plays, it's just a little something extra to the tournament. We all just, and I'm not counting anything external to golf. When Tiger is on the course, there's always something special when Tiger plays. And this BS that he had to apologize for some joke that he and Justin Thomas pulled off.
You know, Tiger's the tampon not there. Joke, it's ridiculous. Stop. The
tampon joke. And what I liked seeing was, I read the article, Susan Peterson, who was going to captain one of the European squads, I think, Laura Davies, who's one of the best women's golfers of all time, they came out and basically said, "We know Tiger. This is boys being boys. Cut it out. Let's not be offended by every little thing."
Well, that's what they're doing, though, Kev. Boys aren't allowed to be boys anymore. It's a different world. My take on this weekend, you know, Rahm wins. Homa usually plays really well in California.
Yeah, he was Homa right played there. Real well this weekend.
Cantlay. And Zalatoris closed with a 64. Will Zalatoris is a hell of a young player. Great field. Lots of big names popping around the leaderboard. The Masters is going to be awesome, dude. It's going to really be awesome.
Part of the thing that came out of the LIV golf tour is that the PGA has certain designated events. The top X number need to play, I forget what the number is, 15 or 16 out of the 17 designated events. And they've put these fields at $20 million purses. So they are drawing big names to these tournaments, like the Genesis. The week before, the Waste Management Open was another one of those. So they're going to be sprinkled out through the year. It's more exciting as a golf fan to see these names more regularly during the year, besides just the majors.
So I was out with a guy last week on a board I'm on, and you know he's a big time divorce lawyer. Apparently, you can become a member of Genesis, and it costs $1 million before you put a T in the ground.
Oh, is that all?
It is the most expensive course in the world, from what I'm told.
Wow,
I did not know that. I was like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "I believe it's $1 million," and I was like, "All right." Good enough, Mel. Whatever you say.
Did you tell him you'll take two better than me? You'll take two memberships?
Oh, God. Did I take cash? Because I'll just drop it off. But it was like I was pretty blown away that this course is probably – it's more exclusive and elite than almost any other course that there is.
So this weekend they move from the West Coast. They go down to Florida. They've got a couple of tours coming up and a couple of tournaments in Florida coming up. The Honda Classic this week.
Mm-hmm.
The Arnold Palmer Invitational the week after, and then March 9th through 12th, same as well, the conference tournament finals for basketball, the Players at Bluegrass. And that's always a tournament that we love to watch.
Oh, listen, you got
we love the Island Green.
You got all the fun stuff.
That's just one of those holes that I think everybody who plays golf would love to play that hole once.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to bring your own bucket of balls. Because people
Gino
like
that. Will drop you after the third miss.
We put 20 balls into the water before we hit the green. On a good day.
I mean, listen, it's like there's certain holes that are iconic, and that's one of them. And it is fantastic. But like you said, Tiger's involvement and a good leaderboard. When you see Tiger, you see Justin Thomas, you see Jordan Spieth, you see John Rahm. You see all these names, Ricky Fowler starting to play better than he did last year, which is nice to see. You start seeing these names come around and golf just gets electric, but Tiger is still the lightning rod that makes it all go.
I mean, I know ESPN was streaming a lot of it. They do a good job with that if you have your ESPN subscription. But watching the group Thursday and Friday with Tiger, Justin Thomas, and Rory, doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't. It really does not. It's fun stuff. And they used to not do it, but now they have featured groups, which is great. They usually just do it random. And then they realize, let's just put like three really good players together and people will just follow them the entire round, which is pretty cool. It really is.
And poor Victor Perez or people like that get to play in silence.
Yeah, nobody knows them unless they have a really good round.
Not Victor, Pat Perez, I mean, not Victor.
Well, I thought there was a guy I didn't know. Anyway, but golf's getting good. Golf's getting exciting and we're coming up on it. Had a couple of points I wanted to make on the horse racing, but gee, you had a point on golf? Sorry.
Yeah, my pre-Masters pick is going to be Zalatoris, by the way.
Will Zalatoris. Wow. He's a hell of a player, man.
Yep.
Hell of a player. Just a couple things with horse racing real quick. The Risen Star, grade two that ran. We had a big upset this week. An Angel of Empire was the winner. Sun Thunder second, Two Fills third, Tappet's Conquest fourth. So the winner was 13-1. The second choice was 16-1. Third choice was 5-1. Fourth choice was 25-1. Angel of Empire again is another Brad Cox horse. Luis Saiz was on board. First horse to guarantee the Derby because this is the first race where you got 50 points for the win. So he's the first horse that's in there. He's likely going to run in the Louisiana Derby as well. So we'll see if he's any good. $1 exacta paid $179. $1 triple paid $14.70. $1 super paid $76.69. So it was at the fairgrounds. The favorite Victory Formation finished a well-beaten ninth. Just something to keep your eye on for horses. This week, got the Rebel at Oak Lawn Park. Beautiful Hot Springs, Arkansas, G. 11-horse field. It's kind of another 50-point race. It's a wide-open race. Horses to watch include horses like Reincarnate, with Yaldin and John Velasquez aboard, Gunpilot with Asmussen and Ricardo Santana Jr., and Giant Mischief is the probable favorite with Brad Cox and Irad Ortiz. But next week we get the Fountain of Youth, the Gotham, and the San Felipe. So we start seeing more and more of the bigger races coming out where you can get 100 points. One thing, just a note, congratulations to Asmussen, first trainer in North America to win 10,000 races. He won in a fifth race, like the allowance race, somehow, somewhere. I don't remember. It was at the fairgrounds. I just don't remember who it was. First trainer with 10,000 wins, so I thought that was pretty cool. And we should be getting closer and closer to seeing what horses are for real for the Derby over the next couple weeks. Cheat.
Okay. All right. That's all I got. Any other points? Maybe a couple of baseball points. You guys see anything going on with baseball right now? Darren?
Well, DeGrom is injured again. He's still not throwing. Machado and the Padres are far apart. So it looks like Machado was going to opt out this year. Might be a second big free agent along with Ohtani that'll definitely be out there this year. And we're going to start doing our fantasy stuff in our position battles real soon. We got to start digging into that as the season will be beyond in front of us before we can bat an eyelash here. So a lot of cool things with Major League Baseball. I mean, not a lot to say because we haven't even seen a game yet, but, you know, it's coming.
And this afternoon, another big injury shocker. Lance McCullers Jr. won't be ready for opening day.
Yeah, he wasn't going to start opening day anyway, so it didn't really freaking matter.
I mean, this guy, has he ever been healthy in his career?
His father wasn't healthy either. I think it's in the blood. Lance Sr. wasn't exactly always healthy. Just one man's opinion. No, I agree with you on that. I guess a couple of quick NFL points. So the Cards hired Gannon from Philly, and he took a couple of guys with him. Not very impressive in the press conference from what I saw, but whatever. Vic Fangio goes to Dolphins as a defensive coordinator. Not happy to see that. Took Ronaldo Hill with him from the Chargers. The Chargers promote Ansley to be their defensive coordinator. Bieniemy's off to Washington to be the offensive coordinator. LeSean McCoy came out and ripped him, actually, saying it was a horrible move because Bieniemy doesn't have to do everything. And, you know, Andy Reid does it all. He had Mahomes. But then Jamal Charles came out and somebody else came out. And
I think Tyreek came out, too.
Tyreek did come out, too, as well. There was somebody else, another former player. They all went out and defended Bieniemy, saying he deserved the job. So we'll see what he does. I think Bieniemy needed to get out of the shadow to see if he can get a head coaching job because everybody thinks the same thing that Shady thought, that, you know, how hard is it to be the offensive coordinator when Andy Reid drawing up the plays and Patrick Mahomes running them? So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Derek Carr visited the Jets, apparently a good meeting. Jets are claiming he could be a Hall of Famer. I guess they're trying to posture to see if they can get Rodgers. Yeah, Kev?
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, I mean, you got to laugh at some of the stuff they're trying to do to get Rodgers to make a decision. To be perfectly honest, as a Jet fan, the Derek Carr thing doesn't bother me because I don't have to give up any draft picks for him.
Yeah,
I can get a quarterback I can plug in, and I keep my top picks, which I think is pretty healthy. So if that's the angle that they go, I wouldn't be upset. We'll see what we'll see what happens with that. And the franchise tags will be coming in the next few days. So we'll see what happens there. And mock drafts are already underway. So lots of fun stuff going on here in the wonderful world of the NFL. Gino.
I saw an interesting mock draft where they had Lamar Jackson being traded to my Washington Commanders. I thought that was interesting.
It'll be good for the first 12 or 13 games of the year.
Yeah, if that.
An aging running quarterback that's been hurt twice in the last 2 years makes you a little nervous. Not that he's old, but he's been around a while. He's not 23 anymore. But
no, that made me a little bit more than a little nervous, I have to tell you.
No, I got you. I got you. Any other points from anyone else? Anything else?
That's it.
Hey, guys, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino and Kevin talking to you about the wonderful world of sports. Nice escape for us. Hopefully it's a nice escape for you guys as well. Please download the podcast anywhere you can get your podcast, whether it be an Apple product, whether it be whether it be TuneIn, whether it be Spotify, go on Alexa, whatever it is that you like. Follow us on social media. We didn't really post anything this week, so my bad, but I'll get back on the stick with that next week. Just let us know your thoughts, things that you want to hear, things you don't want to hear. Most importantly, share the show with whoever you can. Try to get as many people listening as possible. We really want to, talk to the masses. We're going to be doing some specialty shows coming up, fantasy baseball information, NFL draft show, and of course a March Madness tournament show. So we have a bunch of things like that we have planned, amongst other things that we'll be doing. But we just want to keep getting out more information. So the more you can give us, the more we can give you back. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
This has been the Sports Kings from Queens.